This morning we're going to be continuing in the series of messages on living a balanced life. Do we have it up yet? There we go. Living a balanced life. We know that when we are trying to have a balanced life, there are times in our lives that things wreak havoc in the different areas of our life and we become imbalanced. We become fragile. We become anxious. And because of that, many times we have to adjust our lives and adjust our lives so that we can be the individuals that God is wanting to work in and through to accomplish His purpose. Now, in order to adjust our lives, we know that we have to have an attitude of humility. We know that we need to make good decisions because decisions determine direction and direction determines destination. We know that Jesus has to be the center of everything we do. We also need to understand the circumstances that we're in and submit to the authorities that are in our life and simply then trust God for the results. As we've been looking at living a balanced life, there are five areas of our life that require balance. There's the spiritual area of our life, the relational area, our financial area of our life, our physical area of our life, and our emotions, our emotional area of our life. The spiritual realm is what everything is based upon. Our spiritual balance determines the balance in the other areas many times. So our relational balance, our financial balance, our physical balance, and emotional balance all rests on the spiritual balance. The problem with that is when things go awry in our lives spiritually or in our life relationally or financially or physically, it affects our emotional balance. So that's why it's important to try to maintain balance in all five areas. Now, we've been looking most recently at our emotional balance. And we know that we need to live watchfully because we need to watch the gauges of our lives just like we watch the gauges of our car. We also need to live respectfully. And this morning we're going to be looking at living gratefully. Being grateful for the things that are going on in our lives, regardless whether they are good or bad, being grateful and having a joy that is unspeakable. Now, I remember when I went to Bethany Baptist Church, the first church I began to pastor. I was saved at age 32, and then after several years of serving the Lord and being in the church, and about 3 years into that, the church wanted to ordain me as a deacon, and before they could ordain me as a deacon, I surrendered to preach. And the pastor told me, and he was like my Paul, I was his Timothy, and the pastor told me, well, you need to leave the church because this church is not big enough for two pastors. He kicked me out of the nest. I didn't know what I was going to do. I hadn't gone to seminary. I didn't have a church. I had given up my job. And now my pastor, who was my Paul, kicked me out of the nest and said, you can't come to church here anymore because this church is not big enough for two pastors. So I started preaching. Supply, preaching at different churches where the pastor was gone or on vacation or sick or whatever the case might be. Dr. T.O. Spicer, my director of missions, kept me in the pulpit almost every Sunday. And so our family would go to other churches and I would preach Sunday morning. And every church I went to, I was thinking, now this would be a good church to pastor. I could do that here. And that wasn't God's plan. And a little church, running about 30, had three ordained pastors already in the membership. already currently there. They wanted me to come to be their pastor. And the chairman of the deacons, after we'd gone through all the interrogation and went and preached, and the church had talked to me and I had talked with the church and back and forth, and they took a vote, and the chairman of the deacons came with the result of the vote. And he said, well, they definitely want Kathy to come, and you can come as well. Now, I took that as a compliment because she has always been at my side. She's a big part of my ministry. I'm very grateful that God paired me with her. I don't think another woman would have been able to do what she has done and put up with me. So I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. So when, after about 5 years, we were looking, a church in central Missouri was looking at me. I'd done several conferences, and the church was looking at calling me. And so when I finally made that determination that God wanted us to move, I resigned at Bethany Baptist Church, and the chairman of the deacon said, well, you can go, but Kathy has to stay. And that's always been good news. Wherever I have gone, every church I've ever pastored has loved me and loved my wife more. So it's good that continues on. The amazing thing is, as God moved me to different churches, many times the church was bigger, and then there would be multiple staff, and so I started to have to work with staff, and sometimes the staff members would get a call to another church, and I would have a luncheon with that staff member that was leaving, and many times that staff member would be thankful and grateful for the opportunity that the church had afforded them, and they were grateful to my leadership. And so there was a conversation at lunch, and years in the ministry, as we continue to pastor larger churches, pastoring a large church is not always fun. Getting multiple staff, having an associate pastor, having an associate pastor of youth, a pastor of music, a pastor of education, and having multiple staff on your staff, I found that sometimes when they would leave and go to another church, sometimes we didn't have that luncheon. Sometimes they would just pack their things in their office and they would leave. Not because of anything I had done. Not really because of anything the church had done. But I noticed that through time that there had grown a spirit of ingratitude. A spirit that just wasn't thankful. And we see that spirit in and through our country. In our nation has a spirit of unthankfulness where people grumble about their spouse, they grumble about their job, they grumble about their friends. And this spirit of ingratitude is rampant. And it affects us emotionally. As Paul was working with the church at Thessalonica, he had written his first letter to them. And as he was closing that letter, he gave them some profound information of how they need to live their lives and to be grateful. I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to ask you to please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 16. Paul writes these words, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that we can come and worship you for all that you've done in our lives and through our lives to build your precious kingdom. We're thankful for the country we live in because it does afford us the freedoms to live as you guide us, as you determine in our lives, the freedom to worship you, the freedom to do the things that our hearts desire. And Father, we thank you for that. We pray that we might always be a people that is grateful for all that you have done. And we pray today that we might see the importance of that, that you might lord over every area of our lives, and that we could live balanced lives that are pleasing to you. Now, Father, we pray that you'll give us insight into your precious word today. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ungratefulness is not God's will for our lives. Would you agree? Being ungrateful is not what God wants in our lives. It's not the type of person that he is shaping us to be. Matter of fact, being ungrateful is the exact opposite of what God desires in our lives. An ungrateful person repels people. An ungrateful person is like a walking billboard showing the world how unhealthy and unbalanced they truly are emotionally. They have their little antennas up, seeking who might hurt them so that they can be ungrateful to the people around them. Jesus, as he healed several lepers, only one came back. Only one came back and praised him and thanked him for what he did. And Jesus said, "Where are the others? Were they not healed also?" I put a sign out front. If we woke up tomorrow with only the things that we thank the Lord for today, what would we truly have? Life is not simple. Life sometimes is hurtful. But even though we get hurt, even though we get disappointed, even though things don't go as we've planned, we can still be individuals that are grateful. And that's why I believe, first of all, we need to know God's will for you and your attitude. God's will for you and your attitude. God wants us to be individuals that give thanks out of a heart that overflows with gratitude. A heart that is saying, "I love my life, regardless of the things that are going on, regardless of the bad things that have happened." So I believe, first of all, we need to rejoice always. Now, we may think that that's a very tall order. Pastor, how can I rejoice when things don't go right? How can I truly say, "Thank you, Lord, for this calamity that I'm in right now"? No, God doesn't want you to say that. But God wants you to have a heart that overflows with gratitude, relying upon him. Because rejoicing should not be a result of getting our way or having things work out the way we wanted it to work out. Boy, I mean, if we only rejoice when we get our way and when things work out the way we want them to work out, we can be some very sad people. Amen? Because things don't always work out. When Kathy and I were looking at the possibility of buying a house, we had looked at other houses and I'm not going to go into all of that. But we put an offer in on this house out at Jakewood, just east of the big church on Troy Scott Road, a mile east. There's a manufactured home community out there. Anyway, we put an offer on the house, and we already were pre-approved for the financing and stuff, and they said, well, you're going to have to put 10% down, and it's like, okay, well, I have that much in my annuity. I can draw $10,000 out and make the down payment. And so the banker says, well, there's some money out there that we could use for your down payment. You have to apply for it and all this stuff. So we applied for it and all that stuff, things just were not working out. You know, there were lots of not just bumps, but pitfalls. Where I was thinking, you know, well, maybe God doesn't want us to have this. And so I just went to the Lord in prayer and said, you know, God, this is your battle. This is your fight. This is not my fight. If you want us to have this, then you need to provide this. This is all on you. This is not on me. So little bit by little bit by little bit, things start to work out. But then we hit another pitfall. And things come to a screeching halt once again. And I'm saying, God, the battle is all yours. It's not mine. I rejoice regardless of the outcome. I rejoice if you give it to us, and I rejoice if you protect us from it. Because, see, when things don't work out as we plan, many times that's because God is protecting us. I've taught that to my kids for years. Maybe God's protecting us from harm down the road that we don't know about yet. So God, this is your battle. The battle is yours, not mine. And I go back to that scripture that led me to the Lord initially, Exodus 14, 14. The Bible tells us that the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Lord, this is your battle. Whatever you want is fine with me. Everything kind of smooths out. They call me and say, you're golden. Now you just have to take your class. What? A class? Yeah, for that down payment money. You have to take a class online. What? So Kathy and I come here, get online, take the class, 3.5 hours. And they're going to call me for an interview. There's a 17-page application. What? An application, if it's rejected, I thought we were golden. Here's another pitfall. God, this is your battle. So I go into the banker and go, here, they want all my information. You do it. They fill it out. I try to call them to fax it to them. And I can't get a hold. 2 days I'm calling, trying to get a hold of the lady to simply get the fax number to fax it to them. And they are in Fairview Heights. So I drive to Fairview Heights, hand deliver it. And the gal that I'm supposed to deliver it to is gone. Give this to Bethany. Okay, so Bethany's supposed to call me now for an interview. What's the interview all about? She calls the next day and says, Mr. Ballard? I go, yep. She says, is this Craig? Yep. Are there any questions you had about the course? Nope. She said, what'd you think about the course? I said, it was kind of long, but I did learn a few things, and that's good. She says, well, if you have any other questions, I go, nope. She goes, okay, I'll tell my supervisor you passed, and she'll get your completion. Ah! That's the interview? Ah! So we get close to closing, and they call me. Accent Title calls me and says, oh, we made a mistake. We got to refigure the taxes. The closing portion is going to be different than what we originally told you. It's like, what? 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 So they sent me the final, and it was even less than what we thought it was going to be. I only had to come up with $1,600 out of my own pocket. Only God can do something like this. That's God's battle, not mine. That's God's battle. I can rejoice whether we get it or whether we don't get it. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha is with his servant, and they're facing the enemy, and a servant comes and goes, oh, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good, Elisha. And Elisha says, what's wrong? He says, well, look at all of them. He says, they that be for them are much greater than they that be for us. And Elisha says, oh, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And he looked around, and the entire hillside was filled full of warriors and horses and chariots of fire. And Elisha said, they that be for us are greater than they that be for them. Rejoice always. Secondly, pray constantly. Pray constantly. We need to be in touch with God on a regular basis. I have found that when I have the prayer time that I need, the prayer time that the Lord requires of me, when things come upon me that are unexpected, I am very stable and secure, and it doesn't rattle my cage. It doesn't squeeze my person. But when I haven't taken the time that God requires of me, and I'm doing things in my own strength, and then something hits my person, something starts to squeeze me, guess what comes out? All of the anxiety, all of the anger, all of the problems that I've been thinking about, that's what comes out. A couple Sundays ago, I talked about squeezing a lemon, and I asked you, if I squeeze a lemon, what comes out of it? You all said lemon juice. No. No, you're wrong. What happens if I extracted all the lemon juice and put grape juice in the lemon, and when I squeeze it, what comes out? And you all said grape juice. It's like, no. Whatever is in it comes out. Whatever is in us comes out. When we pray constantly, God is able to do things in our lives and give us a sense of balance, a sense of stability that otherwise we don't have. That's why Paul told them, rejoice evermore, pray constantly. Why would he say that if it wasn't important? Our attachment to God comes as we commune with Him. And that's what gives us assurance. That's what gives us belongingness. That's what gives us the ability to stand firm and be in balance. When we don't spend time with Him, the littlest thing knocks us out of balance. And when we get knocked out of balance, then everything else seems to teeter-totter away. And everything comes falling down. Pray constantly. Thirdly, give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. When we give thanks in everything, what it does is it builds us emotionally. It gives us an attitude of gratitude, and that emotion is stable, and it's resting on everything else. That's why it's so important that everything is resting on the spiritual balance, our relational and financial and physical and emotional balance is resting on the spiritual. But when things happen in those other four areas, it affects us emotionally. That's why we need to give thanks. Well, Kathy and I have been moving stuff back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and moving stuff out. Nick was supposed to come down, our son from Iowa was supposed to come down and help us start moving on Wednesday. So just with Nick and me, we could load and go, and he's got a strong back, and away we could go. And so he calls and says, well, Dad, I can't come. Can't come. I had stuff at work pop up. I had an employee leave. He's at Iowa State University in Ames, and so there's a lot of students that come in and out, and so he hires a lot of students, and when they leave, they leave. I mean, just they're gone. And so he has to hire and train another person. And so that's what happened. So he couldn't come. And so I called Joey and he could come. And so we took two loads Thursday. And then Friday, Kathy and I took a load. And Mia and Terry are supposed to come down tonight. They're supposed to go to their church and then make the drive down. And my sister calls and says, well, Elise bought a duplex and the basement's full of water. And so we may not come now. It's like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, we'll manage. Okay, that's fine. No worries. Family has to come first. It always has to come first. And then Kay's sister passed away. And she needed to have the funeral on Saturday. It's like, that's my main moving day. Okay, fine. We'll do the funeral, no problem. We can do that. We'll just work it in. And then I go to do Jane's funeral yesterday, and Kay tells me, "Hey, I've got it all lined up. Danny and his friend Craig and someone else is going to bring a covered van and move our big stuff. They got strong backs." And it's like, okay, God. See, nothing happened the way I planned it. Nothing happened the way I planned it. Does that ever happen in your life? But this is God's thing, not my thing. And we've had offers from other people to come help us and stuff, and that's all well and good. And, you know, I told Kathy, you know, maybe it's a good thing me and Terry aren't coming down, because then they'd have to sleep someplace and then we'd have to get towels for them to use to shower. It's just easier sometimes to take a box, take it, and put it away, and you're done. And I do appreciate and I'm grateful that I don't have to be the one that even plans it anymore. All I need to do is think about what God is doing and thank Him for all that He is doing, because He is the one that puts it all together. See, our joy cannot only lie in when things go right the way we planned them. Our joy has to come in the one that makes everything happen. That's where our joy has to come from. That's why we can give thanks in everything. We may not understand the situation that we happen to be in and why this is happening. Could it be that God is just trying to draw you closer to Him so that you can spend more time with Him, so that He can show you that He is the one that's in control? Wow. When I told Dallas we're going to be moving, and I told Dixie and Joe first, And Dallas said, oh, man, it's been so nice having you there. Everything's been automatic payment. You can fix stuff and everything. And so I told Dallas after we told the women that the mamas that Kathy babysits for that we're going to be moving. And one of them said, hey, can we rent it? So we put the two of them together, and now one of the families that Kathy's been babysitting for is going to rent. So there's no skip in payment cycle at all. Only God does stuff like that. That's why we need to have an attitude of gratitude. Right before Jesus left, he got his disciples together for his lunch. He called it the Lord's Supper. We call it the Last Supper because it was the last supper he had with his disciples. And it was a very intimate setting, a very intimate time where Jesus came with his disciples and probably expressed gratitude to each one. And they probably expressed gratitude back to him. And he was assuring them that this isn't the end, this is just the beginning, because he's coming back again. And that's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper today. That's why we celebrate all that God has done in our lives and through our lives to build his precious kingdom. We're going to have a song of invitation if our worship team would come, and then we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. So we're only going to have a couple verses of invitation. And if you would like to pray right where you're at, I want to encourage you to do that. As Jesus gathered with his disciples on that Last Supper, he would speak to them individually, and then he would speak to them all together as well. And he said, recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. As Jesus was with his disciples, he said, This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat the manna, and now are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. As recorded in Matthew, the 26th chapter, it says, And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Amen. Father, we do thank you for this glorious time of remembrance of what you did for each one of us, that you would suffer and bleed and die on a cruel cross at Calvary. And Father God, that you would give us the freedom to be able to worship you. And Father, we thank you for this ordinance of the church, that we might truly remember all that you have done and look forward to your blessed return. And we pray now that you dismiss us with your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.